flash water man. I don't like just one. I like to be able to slap at both of them. Good singing all the way around tonight. It's good to be back in the house of God. How about that? Is that on yet? On now. Got it on now. We're learning on both ends of this how to get it on. Take your Bible, you will, to the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs, here's an old familiar passage we use every now and again. And if you find the place, chapter 27, Proverbs 27. And if you'll find the place, and about verse number 1 is where we'll read. We're going to read two verses, but verse 1 is going to be our real text verse tonight. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Donald Trump's never read that passage and believed it. There's a passage there that he's never read, or either he just doesn't believe it. But notice that, if you will, please, and then in verse 3, that a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and the anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and how we do thank you for it, how we thank you for these that have gathered tonight, the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed together. I pray that now you'd right every wrong and save the lost and lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while in a new sermon that I've been working on today entitled, Tomorrow is Not Ours to Claim. Every boy and girl, man and woman is in this building. You were born to sinner without hope, without God. Now, let me tell you, if you've been here at this church any length of time, one of these days, if you've not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ that we've pointed you to repeatedly, if you've not yet trusted him, one of these days you're going to have to stand before God and say, yeah, old Brother Dennis had tried to turn me to the Lord, but I just wouldn't have it. What a sad commentary that'll be. In the lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Bible said that we'd better learn to listen with our heart. Now, you're not talking about with the head. I'm talking about with the heart. I'm talking about you got to be careful about and you got to be on your guard against distractions that'll come your way. How many times some of you nice young men or nice young ladies, you've come to the house of God and don't have a clue what was going on because you're busy playing some kind of game or you're listening to some kind of other junk that amount to a hill of beans, and one of these days you're going to stand before your maker. I got to say to you that, if you will, please, is that make no mistake about it, is that I'm not against listening to good music, but let me tell you right now, even Christian music can keep you from hearing the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord's the only thing that'll save you. In this lesson that we're living in, is that in the day and hour that we're living in, most homes are filled up full of fussing and cussing and fighting and feuding and wrath and all that business there. If there's ever a time people need to hear something from God, it's in the day and hour that we're living in. In other words, the idea of verse number 1 that we've read tonight, never put off till tomorrow what you ought to do today, and that is trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible said today that if you'll hear his voice, not next week, next month, but today, if you'll hear his voice, and I guarantee you right now, you better trust him and receive him in the free pardon of sin. Now, you know, we're busy looking for tomorrow to get here, and we don't even know what today's going to bring forth yet. See what I'm talking about? I mean, here we look about, people get under conviction every now and again, and they put on off till tomorrow what God's dealing with them about today, namely their soul's condition. I can remember whenever I was a lad growing up, and I'd get under conviction, and boy, I'd think, well, I'm going to do it later, and I'm going to do this. But, you know, finally God began to awaken me that I may not have later. And one of these days, you're going to find that we're going to come to the end. let me say to you, yesterday's gone forever and tomorrow may not ever come. In the lesson that we're looking at here, but he said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Do you realize that, no, that today one thing's happening and tomorrow another thing could be happening? Let me give you an illustration here that I ran upon about the Titanic that sunk in the North Atlantic. It was somewhere around April the 14th and 15th, around 2 o'clock in the morning on the 15th of April in 1912. By 2:20 that morning is that whenever it finally sank. But there was a captain of that ship, and his name was E.J. Smith. I don't know if he was kin to Brother Nolan or not, but that's his last name, E.J. Smith, Captain E.J. Smith. And in the New York Times on April 16, 1912, here's a quote from Mr. Smith, and here's what he said. Quote, I cannot imagine any condition which would cause this ship to founder. I cannot conceive of any vital disaster happening to this vessel. Modern shipbuilding has gone beyond that. Now that was a quotation, a direct quotation from the captain of the ship. But he wasn't planning on tomorrow having to be able to read the newspaper in the New York Times that things didn't turn. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, God said. See, God's working in the eternity of right now. Do you know that the last message that they heard from the Titanic, quote unquote, come quick, engine room is nearly full. What a thing. I mean, the very thing that drove that ship. They did a lot of interviews with him and in before, and of course, naturally not after he died, but they did a lot. And he had such confidence in the Titanic that he was not about to be able to let anybody dissuade him from trusting totally in the vessel that he was riding in and carrying others with. Well, what a disaster that it was. I want to say to you that if you will, please, as that each boy, girl, man, and woman, what a disaster that it will be while you listen over there in the book of James in chapter number 4. But what a disaster that it will be that if you spend the rest of your life hearing but not listening to what God's got to say. I got to say to you that make no mistake about it is that over there in the book of James, the Bible says in chapter number 4, it's about verse number 12, and here's what he says in the passage. There's one lawgiver, and who is able to save and to destroy, and who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow. In other words, that's what we read in Proverbs, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Go to now that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say that if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. He said, but now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him that it is sin. God tells us that we ought not to be boasting about tomorrow. We don't know what today's going to be. We have absolutely no control over how long we're going to live. And let me tell you, that's the reason why that old Charles Hatton Spurgeon, what a preacher back in his day. He used to have a young preacher's class, and then he used to have some people in his church. And sometime Mr. Spurgeon, he would go out to the cemetery, and they would take a ruler, and he'd take those children, and they were amazed at some of those little graves were not as long as they were tall. And what he wanted to show them was is that God is no respecter of persons. And that one of these days it'll come your time to leave this world, and you'd better be able to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. I was thinking about as I looked into this right here is that yesterday is gone forever and tomorrow may not ever come. Do you know if you wasted yesterday, it's wasted for all eternity? And by the way, that whenever you begin to look into it, you'll find that time is quickly passing. That's why over there in the book of Job, he said, my time is passing like a weaver's shuttle. In other words, that machine that's quickly building a garment or building a cloth. I want to say to you that, if you will, is that make no mistake about it, what God's trying to tell us, that life here is short, and we'd better be careful that we cherish the moment. I've got some people that are dear to my heart that have already gone to the other side, some of the same people that's dear to your heart. God, I miss them. I miss them. I wish I had taken time to cherish the moments better than what I did. See, God does that every now and again to just remind us how good that he's been to us and so forth and on. I want to say to you that, if you will, that over there in the book of Job, chapter number 1, about verse number 21, you're looking at a man that lost everything. Lost his maid servants, his man servants. He lost his animals, and all of that. All of his children were slain. And finally, he broke down. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I'll return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I can know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, there's a passage over there. It's about verse number 4. And here's what the idea of it is. We're to comfort other people with the comfort we ourselves have been comforted with. And that's just the way that it is. You know, it's one thing somebody come up and say, "Look, I've never been through nothing like this before, but I want to tell you, you can't tell me anything." Now, if God has done something real in your heart, I want to hear what God's done. And I can comfort you because I've been there, done that, and I've sat where you've sat on these occasions. Now, there'll be some things probably that maybe you've gone through that another has not. But there's somebody somewhere that will be able to say that. Now, I want to tell you something, and just so you'll know, there are going to be some things in life you can't change. Don't waste your time on it. I've seen people that spent 30 years, 40 years, and I know what you're thinking and all that. Some of you are not even that old. Well, I've been hearing it longer than you are old. And there's a lot of people that are in the world, you know, that they've got one thing that's on their mind, and they'd like to try to change that one person or that one thing or that one incident. I will say it again so you'll get it. There are some things we cannot change. Do not waste your time trying to. Turn it over to the Lord. Let it go. That's it. By the way, let me say to you that, if you will, that in this lesson that we're looking at over there in John chapter number 9, don't turn there, verse 4, he said, "We've got to work while it's yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work." I'm glad to know that while we are busy here, and if you're saved tonight, this is going to be one of your lots in life. Here's how you can tell you're saved. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not." I'm fixing to tell you how you can know. "I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not." I'm going to tell you how you can know. If you're saved and heaven bound tonight, you're concerned about somebody who's not saved. If you don't know anybody that's not saved in your mind, if you don't know anybody, it's you. When you get saved, it makes you realize and know that, hey, I got an aunt, an uncle, a grandpa, a grandma, mama, daddy, a sister, a brother that needs the Lord as well. You see, when you get saved, it makes you awaken to not only your need, but to others round about you and what they need. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be saved, saved, saved by the grace of God. And I promise you right now that if you are saved tonight, then you're concerned about somebody. If you're not saved yet tonight, may God trouble your heart until he makes it real that this preacher in this congregation cares about you and wants to keep you out of hell by preaching to you the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. And Lord, we want to thank you that in history past, that we've gotten many examples of people that were procrastinators and going to put off till tomorrow what they ought to be doing right now. I pray you'd speak to every man and woman and every boy and girl. And Lord, if there's one that's ripe for picking, may you trouble them upon their bed until they finally call upon you in the free pardon of sin. We'll thank you for advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen.